Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building what I like to call a heatwave jungle riser in Ableton Live 12, and the goal is simple: make the transition feel hot, unstable, and ready to burst into the next section. This is an intermediate DNB arrangement move, so we're not just making a generic whoosh, we're making something that lives inside the groove. It should feel like humid air rising over the breaks, with enough pressure in the mids and enough shimmer on top to push the listener straight into the drop, the switch, or the breakdown return. First, think in phrases, not just bars. In jungle and rollers, the riser usually works best in the last one or two bars before the change. If your track is moving at around 174 BPM, a two-bar build is often enough. In a denser section, a one-bar riser can hit even harder because it stays focused and doesn't overstay its welcome. So let's start by setting up the arrangement. Open a clean Live 12 project, drop in your drum loop or break, and place a locator where the transition happens. If you're working in a standard 16-bar phrase, a strong default is bars 13 to 16 as your tension zone, with a drop landing on bar 17. Keep that structure in mind while you build. The riser should support the phrase, not fight it. Now create a MIDI track and load Waveatable. You could use analog too, but Waveatable gives you more control over movement, which is useful here. Start simple. Use a saw or a square saw blend. Keep the detune moderate, and add a little unison for width. Don't go crazy right away. A riser that sounds huge in solo can disappear in the full arrangement, or worse, it can step on the drums. Set your filter low at the start, somewhere around the low hundreds of hertz, and hold a note for 2 to 4 bars. The note itself can stay static. The movement is going to come from automation. That's the key idea here. The sound doesn't need to play a melody. It needs to evolve. Now shape the rise with automation. Open the filter gradually, bring the resonance up a little near the end, and if it suits the patch, add a subtle pitch lift. I mean subtle. We're talking a tiny push, just enough to create tension. You want shimmer and pressure, not an obvious trance-style sweep. A really useful teacher tip here: don't make every parameter climb at the same rate. That can feel mechanical. Let one thing rise early, another rise late, and maybe one element pause or dip just before the impact. Contrast makes the build feel more musical. Next, add the heatwave part. This is the atmospheric shimmer that makes the riser feel like hot air bending the light. For that, create a second layer with noise or texture. You can use operator set to noise or simpler with a field recording, hiss, vinyl crackle, rain, tape noise, anything that gives you texture. Keep this layer quiet at first. Then process it with auto filter, saturator, maybe a little redux if you want grit, and utility for width control. High pass it so it sits above the break, and automate the filter so the air opens up as the phrase moves forward. This is what gives the riser that humid, degraded, jungle feel rather than a clean EDM sweep. If you want a more broken, worn texture, try adding subtle saturation before the filter. That can make the top end feel smoky and dense instead of shiny. In darker DNB, that kind of grit often reads better than ultra-clean brightness. At this point, you've got your tonal rise and your noise layer. Now comes one of the most useful Ableton moves in this whole lesson: resample it. Create an audio track, set the input to resampling, and record the movement. This lets you print the automation into audio, which gives you way more control in the arrangement. Once it's audio, you can reverse the front edge for a suction effect, add fades to remove clicks, warp it if needed, and shape the exact timing so it locks into the phrase. Resampling also makes the sound feel more produced. It stops behaving like a synth part and starts behaving like a real transition element. That matters in drum and bass, because the arrangement is often dense. You want your FX to feel intentional and finished. Once the riser is printed, check it against the drums and bass. This is where a lot of people go wrong. They build the riser in isolation, and it sounds great solo, but once the break and sub are running, the transition loses power. So listen in full context. Now automate the push. Bring the filter up steadily, add a little gain on the way into the drop, and if you want more width, open the stereo image gradually. But be careful with width. Keep the low end tight and mono. Let the top layer spread, but don't let the atmosphere smear into the sub region. A solid move is to raise the riser track by 1 to 3 dB toward the end, and maybe widen it from around 80% up to full width or slightly beyond on the top layer only. If you're using reverb or delay, let the tail grow briefly, then cut it before the drop lands. That little choke can make the impact feel much bigger. And speaking of impact, don't forget the arrangement. The riser should support the drums, not sit on top of them like a separate event. In jungle and rollers, it's often powerful to thin the break slightly in the last beat, or let the bass hold a note or drop out for a moment. That little bit of space creates pressure. If your track can handle it, a micro gap before the drop is killer. Even a tiny moment of near silence can make the re-entry hit way harder. In heavier DNB, absence often feels bigger than extra layers. You can also pair the riser with a small transition element. A reverse crash, a short snare drag, a vocal chop, or a sub drop can help everything land as one phrase. That's especially effective if the riser is doing the atmospheric lifting, while the drum edit provides rhythmic punctuation. Now let's talk about some common mistakes. First, don't make the riser too bright too early. If the top end is maxed out from the start, the build has nowhere to go. Keep the first half restrained. Second, don't let the low mids pile up. If the 150 to 500 Hz zone gets muddy, the break loses clarity. Use EQ or filtering to keep that space clean until the final moment. Third, don't rely on a generic whoosh. A Heatwave jungle riser should feel like it belongs in a DNB world, which means texture, grit, and timing matter more than a simple rise effect. Fourth, make sure you're automating enough. If the sound is static, it will disappear in a busy arrangement. Filter, gain, resonance, send levels, width. Something needs to move. And finally, consider shortening the riser before adding more sound. In fast jungle arrangements, shorter can often feel heavier. If you want to take this further, try a two-stage version. Start murky and narrow, then open it up hard in the final half bar. Or make a call and response build, where the tonal layer and noise layer alternate every half bar so the movement feels more alive. You can even fake a pitch drop right before the final surge, then slam upward for a bigger payoff. Here's a quick practical workflow you can repeat. Build one tonal riser with Waveatable, one noise layer with operator or simpler, automate the filter over the last two bars, add saturation, resample it, reverse the front edge, and place it before the drop. Then mute the bass for the final half bar and listen to how the transition feels. That tiny change often tells you whether the riser is actually doing its job. The final thing to remember is this. A strong Heatwave jungle riser is not about making noise for the sake of it. It's about controlled movement, phrase awareness, and making the listener feel the pressure build. When it's done well, it doesn't just rise. It pushes the whole track forward. So keep the lows clean. Let the motion arc late. Use contrast instead of constant oscillation, and make the final beat count. That's how you get a riser that feels like humid air, broken light, and a drop that absolutely has to hit. Now go build three versions, test them in context, and listen for the one that makes the phrase feel inevitable. That's the Heatwave jungle move.